Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Former Taoiseach Leo Varadkar and former Special Forces Army Ranger Ray Goggins, good morning.
Morning.
This is an unlikely duo. So Ray, people will know you from RTE's Special Forces Ultimate Hell Week. You've a new show now called Uncharted, and each week you take off a pair of well-known people off on an extreme wilderness challenge. And Leo Varadkar, you were Ray's first guinea pig. How did it all come about?
Yeah, I just got an approach from the producers. As you know, I'm on a bit of a gap year this year, and I was looking to do things that were different and maybe a bit beyond my comfort zone. And this proposal came across the desk and sounded really interesting. I'm not sure I would have done it if I actually knew what I was signing up for, but glad I did in the end.
And it was interesting. It's probably the most vulnerable we've ever seen you. Did you expect it to be so revealing of you, or did it freak you out a bit?
I have to confess, I haven't actually seen the finished product yet, so I hope I don't look too vulnerable. But it was challenging. You know, I'm well travelled, and you know, I'd slept in a tent before and lots of stuff like that. I'm not a shrinking violet, but I'd never done anything of that nature. You know, the physical challenges were genuinely really hard. You know, I'd never climbed a mountain with ropes or harnesses or things like that before. And then just the experience of actually being out there in the wild for several days, sleeping in caves, sleeping in tents, making your own fires, doing your own cooking. It was a very different challenge to running a small country of 5.3 million people.
Yeah. Ray, Leo was paired up with Lyra, the Cork singer, and they met you in South Africa, and it was a 5-day challenge. So talk me through what you made them do.
Yeah, like, I suppose, you know, the whole idea of the programme was just to get them to do something that's different they're not used to, get them away from all the mod cons that we're all used to, I guess, and that was kind of it. So we basically crossed a mountain range over a pair of days, and it was absolutely miserable. It was lashing rain. It was like a bad Thursday afternoon in November in Wicklow for most of it. But so just different challenges, climbing, walking with equipment on, you know, as Leo said there, setting up rough camps, sleeping in caves, just managing yourself in that kind of environment is enough, you know. So yeah, that was basically the idea of it all.
You said at one point that the weather made certain things you did probably 10 times more difficult. Had you expected the weather to be the way it was? Was it actually in reality a much harder ordeal than you had expected it might be?
Yeah, like, definitely, Brendan, the weather played its part, because apparently it was summer in South Africa, but it was like a winter's day in Wicklow for a lot of it, as Leo will tell you. So the rain just makes it a bit more miserable. It's colder. Everything is wet. You're trying to dry equipment and kit. You know, your boots are wet, your feet are wet. And then when you look at the climbing side of things, when you're dealing with like cliff faces and rocks and, you know, ropes and harnesses, and everything is slippy when you're wet, you know, it just makes it a bit more, you know, enlightening, for want of a better word.
And Ray, what did you want them to have achieved or kind of found out about themselves by the end of it?
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I suppose you're looking at just getting them into something different. And like, you know, we kind of see the world through a different window, maybe for a while, because, you know, we all like doing what we're familiar with, what we're used to, and that's how we perceive stuff. But like, it's nice to kind of look through something different and experience something different, because it just gives you maybe a different idea of yourself and, you know, what you can do, like, you know, a bit of self-belief, a bit of difference. And that's basically all of it. Like, look, I wasn't going to change their lives in 5 days in South Africa, but maybe just give them a slightly different twist on things, maybe.
Yeah, and Leo, I think you were quite proud of yourself by the end of it. What did you learn about yourself?
I do a bit of a fear of heights. And I was able to kind of overcome that a little bit more. So that was a definite positive. And one thing I kind of really loved, I suppose one thing I did kind of, that was kind of positive to learn, was that I was kind of able to do these things, actually survive in the wild for a number of days. And, you know, the conditions, as Ray said, were very rough. It was February in South Africa, so we'd expected summer weather, and it was quite far from that. But there were some parts of it that I really loved. You know, the kind of back to nature experience of actually going to bed after the sun goes down, because there's nothing much to do after you've sat around the fire and had your dinner, and then waking up with the dawn. Some of those things were actually really special experiences, and you know, just phones not working. It was a great experience in that sense. And,
yeah.
And,
what starts to happen to you
again? I'm not sure I'd do a full week, but it was great.
What starts to happen to you after a couple of days like that when you're away from everything and your phone isn't working and you're switched off? I presume panicky initially, and then you kind of have to just go with it, is it?
Yeah, that's exactly it. And, you know, phones work in certain places, but, you know, your phone might work, but your battery pack is long gone at that stage, you know. So it's so it is, you know, I can certainly realize much more why, you know, why, for example, early human life started off in a cave. Like, caves are actually quite nice, surprisingly nice. You know, they're comfortable, they're dry, they have three walls. And then you wake up to this, you know, wonderful sunrise and wonderful view. So I think it was kind of a connection more with, you know, our ancestors and primordial man and all those things. But it was also great to have company too and to have a team. And, you know, I was blessed to be paired up with Lyra. We got on very well. And she's extraordinarily brave, you know, so she kind of made me braver. I was, you know, chickening out at various points, and I couldn't read if Lyra was going to do it. So that really helped.
Yeah, because, Ray, we know from Ultimate Hell Week that the DSs, you're kind of amateur psychologists as well and good at figuring out people's essences and weakness and strengths maybe. So you said early on, it was an interesting thing. You said Lyra was a very open person, kind of from the get-go. Leo, less so, slower to kind of connect, slower to commit. Talk to me about the two different types that they were.
Yeah, I suppose, like, to be fair, like, both people in the public eye for different reasons. So I suppose, to great respect to Leo, like, he comes from a background where you have to kind of mind what you say, mind what you do. And you don't just shake that attitude overnight, you know. So that's kind of where what he brought in. But, like, you know, as the days went on and, you know, he connected more with myself and Lyra and we got over the challenges, and he possibly realised I wasn't there to kill him. I was just getting him, you know, to maybe try some new things, and he bought into it as much as he could. Like, it was, and he brought it all to the event. So, like, yeah, so it was good. And with Lyra, then obviously, look, Lyra's just like, she just jumps into stuff. She's, as Leo said there, she's so courageous and vivacious and bubbly, and she's just great crack to be around, you know. She's good to be in any team because she just keeps you going. Like, it's very good, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So was it difficult for you, Leo, having been used to being maybe in charge of things and everything, that you had to learn with Lyra that you could rely on her, you were there together in it and all that kind of thing, and I guess to trust her a little bit, yeah?
Yeah, look, she's very... very friendly, very personable person. So I think we hit it off, you know, on the first or second day. So being there with her and being able to work with her wasn't a challenge. I've had to work with much harder people than Lyra in my life and career. So that in itself wasn't a problem. But, you know, deferring to Ray's leadership maybe was, you know, because I very definitely wasn't in charge of what was going on, didn't know what was coming next, and was out of my depth. So I was in no position to, you know, take control of the expedition. But Ray was great, you know, and I'm sure he was a lot kinder to us than he is to the contestants on Hell Week. We weren't at that level at all. And he gave us very clear instructions, which I think helped a lot, but then was very reassuring and very encouraging along the way. I do still regret having to actually stand on him to get up the final bit of the mountain. But,
yeah.
It was that or call the helicopter, which would be 4 hours away, so we'd no choice.
Yeah, so it's interesting what you say about having to kind of relinquish control. You said this thing early on, just a throwaway, that you weren't used to going into situations where you hadn't been briefed. So you're more used to being in control of things, being able to prepare for things. I think you're quite a preparer, and you do your mindfulness exercises before situations. So was it an issue for you relinquishing control?
Yeah, it was, to be honest, because, you know, the uncertainty of what the next challenge was, you know, we really didn't know what was coming up next. And, you know, they'd be setting it up ahead of us. So, you know, you can become a little bit nervous as to what's ahead of you next. You know, in terms of the physical challenge and the mountaineering challenge. But, you know, if you think of my kind of background, you know, I was a doctor for 7 years before I saw the patients. I would have had their chart in front of me and would have known a lot about them already. Before doing almost anything in politics, you know, you're well prepared, you're well briefed. This was totally different. You know, there was no morning briefing telling us what was going to happen. There was no schedule. There was no run of show. There's none of the things that I just kind of take for granted. So yeah. I did have to go with it, but it wasn't easy, really. You know, we didn't even know what when the day was going to stop. We assumed it was going to stop at sundown, but we had kind of torchlights on our head, so you know, potentially it could have turned into an all night event. Who knows?
Okay, so you're in a constant state of kind of uncertainty, and you can actually see it happening. You can see yourself letting go over the course of the time. I think it took you a while to kind of get confident in yourself in the situation, didn't it? Even the horse at the beginning, like, you were kind of nervy.
Yeah, well, I think I was just kind of hanging on to the horse and hoping not to fall off, to be honest. And the weather that day was really, really bad. I did a bit of riding and even a bit of jumping when I was a kid, but like, you'd swear I'd never been on a horse before. that was actually quite scary, particularly going through the forest. But yeah, there wasn't much alternative other than to roll with it.
That's the thing, you have to keep going.
The four-wheel drive wasn't so bad. That's something I hadn't done before, and was only just back driving, really, after many years of being driven around by guard of protection. But that was actually kind of fun.
Yeah, I suppose like riding a bike, it comes back. Mm. You did say on the horse as well, you've seen a lot of horse riding injuries down the years, I think. Like Ray, you commented on the fact that Leo was thinking all the time, watching every detail and kind of being quite analytical probably and watching out for threats and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, look, that's the way he's wired, to be fair. Like, you know, as a doctor, like he was seeing the results of these events, you know, when they were coming into him in hospital, you know, so I get that. But I suppose what I wanted to do in that environment, and probably the environments I worked in, are often so chaotic and things change in seconds. So like, yeah, you have to be laser focused. But you laser focus on what you're doing at the present moment. You don't worry about what's going to happen in half an hour. You just get what's done in front of you done completely, and you immerse yourself in that. And it's kind of hard to get your head into that if you're used to having everything lined up, you know.
Okay, so tactical and strategic thinking is not really useful to you in the moment, really.
Yeah, well, like, it is when you're planning and getting ready to go. But when you're in something and you look, everything goes change and goes skew-ways, you can't be going, oh, no, this is what we need to do in 10 minutes. You're just looking at right now, and that's what you're concentrating on. And that just makes you more kind of effective, then, I guess, in what you're doing.
It's an interesting contrast in, I suppose, two types of leadership as well, isn't it, Leo? So you and Ray are leaders of different kinds. What did you observe or learn in Ray's leadership, Leo?
Extremely calm. You know, he didn't know what was coming up either most of the time, and isn't a professional mountaineer, so you know, he was extremely calm, and that was very reassuring. Definitely, clear instructions really helped. You know, if you don't know what to do, if somebody can give you clear instructions and work through them, you can just work through them. And that really helped. And then he was very, even though he was firm, he was very encouraging. You know, genuinely made us believe in ourselves that there were things that we could do that maybe we thought we couldn't, whether it was for physical reasons or just not being able to grasp the skill. And you know, that I think made an enormous difference. So it was really, really great to work with him.
Yeah, and that was something you noted, I think, wasn't it? The idea of the leader encouraging people. You kind of commented that maybe you hadn't taken enough time to do that when you were a leader yourself.
Yeah, it was one of the kind of reflections I had towards the end. And, you know, I had to manage, a cabinet, a whole team of staff, a department, you know, an entire party and an entire government at various periods. And, you know, I was always so busy. But Ray, you know, always found the time to kind of say well done and encourage us. And, you know, I did that too. But I kind of wonder now if maybe I'd just set aside 10 minutes more a day to send somebody a voicemail or bang off a few texts, you know, that would have made a difference, you know. And I wouldn't have thought that before, you know, because I know what I'm doing most of the time, and I don't really need much encouragement or much praise. But when you're actually doing something new and it is difficult, that really counts, you know. It's almost like when you were a kid, one of your parents, you know, telling you well done or you can do it. And I probably could have done a bit more of that in my previous roles, I think. And but there you go.
So simple, really, isn't it? Okay, so you mentioned there was a particular point, Leo, where you thought you couldn't go on. We just have a quick listen to the clip. So you were going up a very, very steep cliff face, basically, here, using kind of iron cable and ladders kind of setup.
Yeah, it's called a via ferrata, which I'd never heard of before. But it's not possible to climb these rock faces. It's only possible because somebody hooked up this metal wiring system. So it was kind of scary.
Okay, let's have a quick listen.
You can start going down now, Lyra, yeah?
God, help me. I feel physically sick.
This is where I get a bit afraid now.
They were both terrified again. For the first time, I wasn't sure if I could get them to the end. Leo? Okay, just relax.
I can't do it.
Just relax, take a breath. He was convinced he was going to die.
I was right there with you in that moment as well, Leo. Like, I was having full body, like, and practically puking, like, because I'd be afraid of heights as well. What got you past it?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I ever thought I was going to die, but I thought I was going to get stuck up there and somebody would have to come and rescue me, which would have been, which wouldn't have been worse, but it would have been humiliating. So, what got me going? One, there wasn't much of an alternative other than being rescued at that point. And, you know, we really were far out in the wilderness, you know, hours from any city. So there was necessity of having to do it. There's the fact that Lyra was ahead of me on that challenge and had done it, so that was an encouragement for me as well. And then Ray, you know, just again being there with me and giving me the instructions and giving me the assurance that I was able to do it, and that the issues were actually, you know, it was in my head that I couldn't do it. It's not that I wasn't physically able or that it was impossible. It was just that I didn't have the mental strength to do it. But I did in the end with a bit of help from my friends.
Yeah, and I suppose that's where the growth is, isn't it? At our limits, like that's how we grow. Leo, you talked to Ray a bit about giving up politics. You talked about when you used to wake up with the worries of 5 million people every day and the anger you sometimes face from people.
It's really only in the few months after I stepped down as Taoiseach and from politics that I actually realised how ready I was. It's a hard thing to cut your own umbilical cord. My main concerns now are my own day and my own life and my friends and family and students and whoever I'm working for at the moment. So it's very different. I'm still involved and interested in politics, but not in an elected role. And there's a huge difference when you're in an elected role because you're accountable to a lot of people and you're responsible for a lot of people. And that's an enormous change, really.
Yeah. You said you're taking a gap year. What else have you done in your gap year?
Yeah, so at the moment I'm in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So I'm a visiting fellow here in Harvard. So doing some teaching and some learning here, which is great. I have completed the memoir. It's been cleared by the lawyers, so that'll be out in September sometime. I have one kind of private sector consultancy, which is a few days a month, which I'm really only getting stuck into now. And then kind of taking time off, travelling, been helping some NGOs, some campaigns around access to healthcare and LGBT rights, particularly in Eastern Europe, where it's being rolled back at the moment. So, plenty to keep me busy, plenty to keep me interested and stimulated.
How you'd see your future career, as a kind of a portfolio of stuff like that? Or might you settle down to something more in a year or two?
I think so, but I don't know yet. And that's kind of what I wanted to make sure that I spent my first full year out of politics doing is, you know, trying different things, trying different challenges, and then, you know, seeing what I really like, and then also seeing what I feel still allows me to make a contribution, because that's important to me too. Uncharted was part of that, you know, seeing what it'd be like to work with the crew, a camera crew, which is very different to having the journalist pack following you around asking you questions. It's a very different experience, and they're great to work with, but also, you know, a very physical outdoor experience, which is so different to all the jobs that I've had before, which are indoors, offices, technology, all of those things, and that was all totally gone.
Come here, going back to being in Boston, how are you finding the atmosphere in America? Is it a bit weird?
There's definitely a lot of worry here. You know, particularly being in an academic institution. You know, America's a great country. I love it. I think I always will. There's so much that's great about it. Definitely there's, you know, a level of anxiety that people have that I haven't seen in the past, you know, about their future employment, about free speech, academic freedoms, you know, things that would not have worried Americans in the past. But it's an interesting time to be here, I have to say. I'm enjoying that. And I certainly would say to people, you know, you're hearing a lot of horror stories about people being stopped going into America and the atmosphere here and so on. I'm sure some of those stories must be true, but I think it's a little exaggerated as well. It's not my experience. I certainly feel very welcome here and didn't have difficulties getting around or anything like that.
And do you have hope for the better angels of America?
I do, yeah. I love America, and it's going to take a lot for that to change. And I think ultimately, America has been a standard bearer. It has done some terrible things in its history. We all know that, but it's also largely been a standard bearer for freedom, for democracy, for the rule of law, for human rights, for progress and technology and innovation and all those good things. And I don't think the American people are going to give that up.
Okay, God, I hope you're right. Ray, Leo concluded at the end of it all that he's a city boy at heart. But it really did feel like he kind of faced himself and pushed through and kind of showed enormous resilience, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Like he was saying there, you know, that like, you know, Lyra spurred him on and I was spurring him on. But at the end of the day, like he was the guy who came up with the goods. Like he climbed, he did the thing, regardless of how uncomfortable he was. So he had it in him. Like it was good to see, you know. And look, it's not for everybody. Like, look, I'm sure if I went into Lenz's house with Leo facing leaders' questions, I'd be in a joker. Do you know what I mean? So like, yeah. I get it. Like, so I very much respect that with him. Like, it's not his kind of zone, but he very much got into it as best he could. Like, and that's all you can ask for. So he brought that, which is great. Like.
And who else is coming up in the next few shows and where are they going, Ray?
Yeah, there's a couple. We've three more to come. So there's one in the Arctic with the Kneecap Boys.
Okay.
There's two in South America with two different groups. So Joe and Tom Barr.
Joe
Canning and Tom Barr, which are, yeah, we're a great mix. And then I had Ellen and Ash, camogie player, and incredible Olympian, two powerful women. Like, that's one to see. Like, you'll see these women just blitzing stuff. Incredible. Incredible.
Yeah, listen, it's an absolutely terrific show based on the one I've seen anyway, and well done to both of you. Can we clear up one thing, Leo, before we go? So at one point, you were talking about comfort food. This is a real quick one, right? So I think Lyra was talking about she wanted a Big Mac meal and chicken nuggets and sweet and sour sauce. Ice cream and chicken wings are your comfort food.
Yeah,
but
not,
then,
not together.
Right? And, got that much. But hang on, the shocker was, you then said, but actually, and I don't know if this was the doctor or the calorie counter in you, one chicken wing is about 100 calories. Is that right?
It is. Yeah, of course, it depends on the size of the chicken wing and the sauce. But yeah, it's a lot.
Okay, so a bucket of them we don't even want to think about.
No.
Okay.
That's your meal for the day.
Do you still have to be pretty calorie conscious? I know you kind of like me, you probably carried a little bit of weight when you were younger. Are you always a bit afraid that could come back again?
I put on weight very easily and lose it very hard, and it's getting harder every year. So, I do kind of watch it.
Yeah.
But I'm able to get exercise and get the gym in a bit more than I used to in the past. So that kind of helps.
Yeah. Well, listen, it doesn't get any easier to lose it as you get on, I just tell you that much. Guys, well done.
I'm still in denial about that.
Thank you very much. Show is called Uncharted. And that episode is Wednesday, May 14th, 9:35 on RT1 and the RT Player. Leo Varadkar and Ray Goggins, thank you both so much.